For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Welcome to the Monday Waffle. I'm your host, Francesca DiNuccio, and today I'm joined by Daniel Litchens and Phoebe Murray. How are you guys?
Absolutely ripping, which is what I said last week, but I remain the same.
I'm doing pretty well. I enjoyed this weekend's games and excited to chat about it.
Yeah, round two of the Waffle. We went to some great matches, so we'll be talking about those today. And we'll also be checking in with Tuck Shop expert Adam DiTullio.
It's a very exciting pod coming up, and I am especially excited to be hosting with you two. Fran, we have our little segment that we'll be showing later off. But Phoebe, you actually asked me yesterday if you can score a goal by handballing the ball.
This is true. I wasn't witness.
Between the goalposts. And what did I say to you?
I'm definitely not a football expert. We are in a learning curve at the moment. But no, you do have to kick the ball through the goalposts.
We're all learning stuff today. And I can't wait to get into this week's podcast.
Let's get into it.
He's put it through. That's the goal of the century. That is unbelievable.
Let's look at the round two scores, starting with East Perth Royals and Peel Thunder. Thunder got up 154-49. The leading goal kicker was Tyrone Thorne and Benjamin Hancock on three goals, and Angus Scott from East Perth had the leading disposals of 34.
We had a grand final rematch down at the Claremont Oval. Claremont held off a fighting Bulldogs outfit to get revenge from the grand final last year. Claremont 108 defeated South Freo 92. Leading goal scorers both from South Freo. Mason Shaw kicked 5. Cody Nett kicked 4. Leading disposals was Lockie Martinez with 32. Jai Bolton 31. Jake Patmore 26, all from Claremont. And Dylan Main, the captain of the Bulldogs, with 26. We spoke to Claremont captain Declan Mountford after the game to see how he went.
Yeah, just wrapped to get another win. Makes it a little bit sweeter that it's against the town that knocked us off in a groundy. So, but another 4 points, so on to next week after this game.
Yeah, absolutely. You came out firing, especially in that third. Scored, what, 7 goals to their 4 or something like that. How does it feel to come back so strong in that third quarter?
I guess we know with this team, the way we're sort of built, we're a bit smaller and faster. We can score quickly and heavily. Sort of did it last week against Swannies, but didn't quite negate their scoring as well. But we've been kicking pretty good totals, so it just gives us good confidence so we know we can kick goals when we're moving the ball well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there was a lot of tension out in the field today. Your two teams are known to not get along so well. What was it like being out there against some of those guys?
Look, they're all good competitors and all competitive blokes, and so are we. And they wouldn't have won a grand final last year if they weren't all competitive. So, of course, there's going to be a few tensions and stuff when a few competitive heads are out there going head-to-head. But we respect them so much in the way they play. So it's just good to get 4 points off them.
East Freo defeated by Subiaco in a 53-86 game. Subi overcame an early lead from the Sharks, ending with a great final quarter. Ryan Bochet with 3 goals. Lee Kitchen, 28. Josh Schofield, 27.
Continuing with the Saturday Arvo games, we had West Perth take on the Eagles. Falcons easily dismantled the Eagles. West Perth got up 120-42. The leading goal scorer was Tyler Keitel from West Perth with 6 goals. West Perth also won the leading disposals with captain Aaron Black claiming 43 for his 200th game.
And in the game under the lights at Mineral Resources Park, the Demons went down by a lot to the Swan Districts, 49-99, a 50-point win by the Swans. Matt Riggio, the captain, scored 4 goals for the Swans, with Jesse Palmer also getting 4 goals. Sam Fisher, the Sandover medalist, got 41 disposals, with Chris Maston for the Demons getting 29. Phoebe spoke to Perth forward Connor Parkland after the game.
What do you feel that you guys need to do to improve for next week?
We talked about training really influences how we play, and Thursday is supposed to be a good field session for us. It's the captain's run, and it wasn't even that. We don't even train hard. We're supposed to just have fun, and we've really noticed that every time we train bad, we play bad, but that's the first thing we've got to fix. There's other stuff in the game, but training's the most important thing we think at the moment.
And that was the scores for round two.
Teaching Fran Footy.
Welcome to the first episode of Teaching Fran Footy. Fran, how are you feeling?
Look, I'm not happy about it, but I'm here, so it's fine. Let's get into it.
Fran, how much about footy do you say that you think you know?
I reckon I know 30 to 40%. Let's put that out there.
30 to 40%.
Don't want to go too high.
Okay. All right. First question.
Yep.
This is the Monday Waffle podcast. What does the waffle stand for?
It's a tough one, man. West Australian Football League.
That is correct.
Thank you. Well done. Otherwise, I shouldn't be here.
All right, your question two.
Yep.
Who was last year's Waffle Premiers?
South Freo.
South Fremantle is correct as well.
Yes, and they versed Claremont.
They did. They did. It's almost like you looked that up for today's podcast.
I didn't. I knew that.
Your third question.
Mm.
What is the name of the medal given to the fairest and best of the waffle season?
The Sandover medal.
That is correct.
Thank you.
That is correct. Fran knows her.
She's surprising you, isn't she?
I'm not teaching her anything right now.
I know.
I'm not teaching her anything. All right, Fran. What is the mascot of East Fremantle?
Bulldogs?
I'm afraid it's the Sharks.
Is it?
It's the Sharks. The Bulldogs are South Fremantle.
Oh, really?
So it's close.
Okay. Well, one was Freo.
Yeah, yeah. And Fran, your final question.
Okay.
How many players are you allowed to have on the footy field at any one time?
Oh, my gosh. 15?
I'm afraid it's 18. Oh. It is 18 players per side. It was close. And you have 18 players on the field and 4 on the interchange bench.
What, did I win still?
I think we're all winners because everyone learned something today.
Okay, good.
And that's another episode of Teaching Fran Footy.
Now it's time for Match of the Week. Perth Demons took on Swan Districts under the lights at Mineral Resources Park on Saturday night. What did you guys think of the game?
An absolute drubbing, Fran. It was quite a masterclass from the Swans, I thought. They really, really took on the Demons and dismantled them.
The Demons, I think, were very disappointed. I mean, look, they finished fourth on the ladder last year and the Swans finished seventh, but I think they really hoped that they were going to win Saturday night's game, and unfortunately it was a bit of a beating.
It was a bit rough as well. You could tell that the Demons definitely thought that they had this game under their belt, but then the Swans gave it everything and came out on top with their first win of the season.
Absolutely, and I think Swans really cherished this one. They went down to last week to Claremont, who are definitely premiership contenders. And they looked good. They looked great against Perth. I mean, and they never looked in doubt. Now, ladies, I wasn't at the first quarter. What happened in that first term?
So, look, it really was anyone's game, I guess, in the first quarter. It did end to 22 to Swans to 16. But both teams really looked like they were going for it in the first quarter.
Yeah, it was really, like, both teams came out strong. It was pretty much anyone's game, but I think what was interesting to see is you had the rookie players out this weekend and they were really out there to show that they earned their place on the field that night.
Absolutely. Now, looking into the second quarter, we didn't have a score in the second quarter for the first half of the whole quarter. I mean, it was definitely a scrappy ball end to end with no scores, but both teams didn't look in it. And then the Swannies come out and kick almost 4 goals to finish the quarter and get to a massive halftime lead.
Yeah, 17 to 43, I think we finished on, didn't we?
It was definitely more like ending the second quarter and moving forward, like Swan grabbed everything they could. There was no chance for the Demons to regain that lead after getting to 6 consecutive goals, opening up a 64-point margin. They knew that they had this game in the ball, and you could tell that from the crowd as some started walking out after the third quarter.
Swan's Lewis Jetta, you know, was also limped off in the second quarter. He didn't return to the game for the rest of the match either, so they lost a key player there too.
That's a real big worry for the Districts just going forward. I'm not sure how serious the injury is yet, but it can't be good for them.
No, no way. And it's going to be really interesting to see how they come back next week.
Yeah. And speaking of third, Phoebs, you did mention that the Swans really came out. And that's because the Demons just had nothing to do. They had some aimless forward entry. They were just kicking and hoping. Whereas when the Swans moved it, they moved it straight from the back through the middle easily and managed to get marks up forward. When they didn't get marks up forward, they had crumbs to the ball and were able to capitalise on their inside 50s.
Yeah, short, sharp passes got the job done for the Swans, definitely.
If you look at their scoring shots, Perth had 19, the Swans had 29 for the game. But the real kicker is in the accuracy. I mean, Swans had a 48% accuracy and the Demons only had 32. I mean, it really shows where these forwards need to step up and start kicking goals.
I think what really hurt them as well is, like, team morale definitely dropped in that third quarter. Like, you didn't have that, like, camaraderie that you would usually see around team sports. The Demons, just their heads were low. They were just like, they didn't even try to get it back up, which I think then referred out into the crowd, because why would you want to hang around if they're not working for you?
Definitely. I think that also reflected in the crowd as well. Some of the comments I heard were a bit discouraging, so that couldn't have helped with the gameplay. But look, Swans had some great players out on the field on Saturday night as well. I mean, number 9, Sam Fisher, he was absolutely outstanding, and he definitely helped them gain the win.
Absolutely. Last year's Sandover medalist, 41 touches, I think it was, and it's just, you know, a fantastic effort from the young gun, and he's going to be really exciting to watch throughout the season. We also had the leading goal kicker, Matt Riggio, the captain from the Swans. He's an absolute gun. And when he got the ball, he just knew what to do with it. Get 4 goals too. And we managed to have a chat with him after the game. Let's hear what he said.
Big game for you today. Big win. How do you feel?
Feel good. Feel good to get the first one for the season. Yeah, we've kind of been building over the last couple of years. Got a couple of players in, and it kind of showed today how game style come through, and good to get a win.
Absolutely. Now, you went down to Claremont last week.
Yep.
You absolutely killed the Demons this week. Do you think it's just the team that you're versing, or do you think you came out this week a little bit better and a little bit stronger?
We played more of a full game this week. We obviously, our first quarter was massive last week, and then our second quarter we kind of fell apart and then was kind of fighting from there. But this week we kind of put 4 together and showed that we can put 4 together, and that was a lot better.
You kicked 4 goals yourself, 20 touches. How's it feel to be leading the way in that sort of space?
Yeah, it's good. It's good being the old fella. still being able to kick a few goals is nice, but just contributing to the team and really watching the other boys go to work and what they bring is what's good for me.
That was Matt Riggio, the captain of the Swan Districts, there with some good comments about what he thought the game looked like. But it was a great game, and I'm looking forward to seeing both the Demons in action against Claremont next week and the Swannies against the Eagles.
That was the Match of the Week summary.
It's time for Tuck Shop Review.
I'm down here at Leaderville Oval giving you your Tuck Shop Review. Now, this Tuck Shop that they've got at the Leaderville Oval has a family-oriented, family-driven vibe to it, and I'm really loving it. You look at it and you go, the chips are going to be darn good, and those chips were excellent. So the chips themselves were quite thick and quite fluffy on the inside. When I broke one chip apart, you could see that potato, like the potato was like a cloud, and it was just so stunning to look at, and even better to eat. But the one thing that could be improved was definitely the seasoning. They needed more salt. So I put a ton of chicken salt on, and honestly, they really missed out on the mark there. But 7 out of 10 for the chips have done quite well, and a really good start to the waffle season for the chips. Honourable mention also goes to the sausage roll that the Tuck Shop had. I ate a sausage roll on Good Friday. I feel really bad about it, but at the same time, I have no regrets because it was so good.
Tuck Shop Review.
Good afternoon, this is your captain speaking. Coming up on the left,
his high ball to half forward's a huge one to win. Gets closed down.
We'll kick virtually on the siren. That's your mark of the season so far. Awesome.
We fight one more round. We get knocked down, we get up. We fight one more round. Come on. Boys.
And on this week's episode of the Monday Waffle, we talk to Aaron Black, West Perth captain and 200 gamer. Let's see what you have to say. So thanks for joining us on the show, Aaron. Congratulations on your 200th game. You clocked up 43 disposals. How's it feel?
Oh, mate, it obviously feels good. I think the win's the important thing to get off the mark. The 200th game thing's pretty funny. I think I've had 3 200ths now. So I had 2 last year and 1 this year. I just off different numbers, like a Waffle 200, and West Perth had another one. So I've been chaired off 3 times. So it's a bit of a funny one. But yeah, it was definitely good to go out and win and perform well as well. So yeah, it's a good result in the end.
You've been a mainstay in the side since round 16 in 2010, since your debut. I can list off your achievements here. 2014 Sandover, the Breckler Medal in 2015 and 2018, Premiership in 2013, Mark of the Year in 2019. What do you think is the greatest of these achievements?
The flag in 2013 is obviously the team success one. It's the one, you know, you play footy for. The individual accolades come along with, you know, the countless hours and the hard work that you put in, but with really good high-level quality teammates who put you in positions to be successful. So, you know, without them, none of the individual awards come along. The flag's, you know, the one for me that... that I think will, you know, I'll hold closest to myself for a long period of time. Sandover's a special one for individual stuff, but you play for that team success. You know, a couple of other things that sort of float around in there. Being captain of the club is one that I hold pretty highly as well. So,
yeah, and you're, yeah, you're 200 games in. The Sandover last year, some people say you were robbed. You were beaten slightly by Seb Fisher. What's it like to still be at the top of your game 200 games in?
I guess what people say is as well, like, you're in your prime when you're 26, 27, 28, 29. It's funny, your body doesn't necessarily feel that way, but I think the game slows down so much for you. Like, it hurts more. I notice that much. It takes me a lot longer to be ready to play. You know, playing senior footy for 11 years at a high level. Everything just slows down and your brain's, you know, so much sharper and quicker, and you don't need to, you know, be flying around and be, you know, the fastest bloke out there or the strongest bloke out there. It just starts becoming a bit more analytical, and you start using your brain a little bit more. So I guess that kind of helps. I've never been the fastest bloke anyway, so I've always been pretty slow, so I've kind of had to use my brain anyway.
So I guess obviously the highlight of a career is always mentioned, but what has been kind of the lowest point of your career, and what made you get through that and move forward?
A lot of it, you know, was more, you know, off-field stuff, balance, work life, you know, and some poor mental health and poor decision-making off-field that kind of were the downsides to my career. And I think with footy, and a lot of people start talking about it now, but with footy and the culture, sometimes that stuff's really hard to talk about, you know, going through some stuff that's off-field and not to do with your footy. So, you know, I worked through those things with people at the footy club and people in my workplace and my partner. And, you know, we kind of guided through that maze and minefield. So it was more off-field than on-field, because on-field's a bit of a release, you know, that you're in the white lines and it kind of, you forget about everything else for the 3 or 4 hours that you're out there or training during the week. So it's a bit of a release. So footy's, yeah, probably helps that.
We're talking Aaron Black, West Perth on Baller. Reflecting on your career again, as we just finished on your 200th game, tell me how a bloke that's only 180 centimetres tall wins Mark of the Year in 2019. How does that happen, Aaron? And you can tell me about it.
I took it on Drago, who's even smaller than me, so that probably helps. I think he copped a fair bit of slack for that from the South Rio boys. I don't get off the ground either, so that's the first one I've ever taken at any level of footy ever.
Now, Aaron, you spoke to some of the team last year from the Monday Waffle for the Captain Series, and you were asked who are some of the youngsters, up-and-comers that are looking at West Perth. You mentioned Ben Delaporte, Mitch Pearce, and Tyler Keitel. Now, Tyler Keitel was the leading goal scorer last year, and he's kicked 10 in the first two games. Do the blokes around the club call you Nostradamus, or do you just know the players well?
I like to think I'm pretty close to Nostradamus. but I think what you kind of figure out, you know, when you train with blokes for 12 hours, you kind of see their work ethic and, you know, what they train like and the direction that they're sort of going as a footballer. Tyler's a pretty easy one because he's a super talent. You know, he's got all the attributes to be an elite footballer. He could quite easily be on an AFL list, in my opinion. And I think his form this year probably shows that. We, as a footy club, West Perth, actually develop our kids really well. And, you know, we don't recruit well. We're in a tough position where we are in finance-wise. And we find ways to develop our kids. So that's the best thing about the club. We know they're going to be good.
Awesome. You've been great to chat to, Aaron. Thanks so much for coming on the pod.
That's okay. No worries, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Don't forget to go to the Monday Waffle Facebook page and throw us a like and follow us on Twitter.
Okay, let's get into the round three tips. First game, East Frio versus East Perth. Dan, what are your thoughts?
This, I have no idea. I guess I'm going to go the Sharks.
The Sharks? All right. Phoebe, what do you reckon?
I think I'm going to go for the underdog and give East Perth a bit of a backing, you know?
Bit of a leg up?
Yeah.
All right. South Frio versus Peel. Phoebes, what do you think?
Well, you know, like Dan has just told us that like Peel's been doing really well. And you know what? I'm going to hedge my bets on Peel. What about you, Dan?
I'm going to go for the last year's Premier's South Fremantle.
Alrighty. Next game, Claremont v Perth. Dan, what are your thoughts?
Look, Claremont showed up this week. And I really think that they'll back it up. And the Demons, they've got a long way to go if they're going to beat the Tigers. So it's going to be Claremont.
I mean, I love an underdog. And like, I feel like they will come back at some point. But after last week's demolishing of a game, I reckon we've got to go with Claremont too.
Yeah, I have to agree with you guys there. I'd say Claremont as well. All right, let's head into the fourth game. West Perth v Subiaco. Phoebe, what are you feeling?
Oh, I'm going to go with Subi. They did pretty well in their first game. And, you know, just got to back the locals.
Damn. Yeah, honestly, I think this is going to be a real close game. I think West Perth might get up, actually.
All righty. Swan Districts and West Coast. Dan, what are your tips?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Oh, actually, I do know. I think the Swans are going to win.
Swans?
Yeah, Swans.
Faves?
I'm going to go with Dan's choices because I think he's got some inside knowledge. So I'm going to go with the Swans too.
Thanks, Faves.
All right. That was the round three tips. That's all we have time for on today's Monday Waffle episode. Thank you for joining me.
Absolute pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
If you missed last week's episode, head on over to the Monday Waffle Facebook page or search the Monday Waffle in Spotify or iTunes to listen to Dan Haley and Adelaide host the round one episode.
Absolutely. And don't forget to follow us on our socials. We are on Instagram at the Monday Waffle and on Facebook also at the Monday Waffle. And you can join us on our polls and our weekly posts and get around us on social media.
See you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.